also not speak specifically about the Bedouin community because Pierre will do that as well. What I want to dialogue with you about or share with you and open to all questions is what this war, this past war, has done to Arab-Jewish relations in Israel. In terms of one of the numbers that you asked, the Bedouins make up only 10% of the Arab population. However, they are the lowest rung, they are at the lowest rung of the socioeconomic level in the country.
What was the percentage?
10% of the 10% of the Arab population are Bedouin. Okay. Then it gets divided into the Druze, the Cherkessi, and the Muslims. Right. Now, Bedouin are Muslims. And the Bedouin will say to you, don't think that I am a separate sect from Muslim Arabs. I am a Muslim, I am a citizen, I'm an Arab citizen in the state of Israel. The fact that you've chosen to categorize me as a Bedouin is the same way as calling Vivian a member of the kibbutz and saying that she's not an Israeli. Bedouin is a way of life, it is not a religion, it's not a separate nationality. Okay, so when the war actually broke out, our office is in Be'er Sheva. So, and as you know, Be'er Sheva and Ashkelon and Ashdod were hit. Didn't hear about the Arab population that was also hit in the Negev because we're all together. So there we were, all of us now, at our homes, between the time we get home from work, running to our safe spaces, those of us who had shelters to our shelters, those of us who didn't to whatever safe space you could find in the space of 10 seconds or 15 seconds, because that's all you had to run, to being in our office, Arabs and Jews together, running to the stairwell of our office building together. It's been suddenly a very, very, very different reality. The take on the war was very, very different. Our exposure to the media that was relating the war to us was very different. Israelis watched Israeli television channels. Arabs in Israel watch Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, as Amal said to me, you know, you saw the war from the height of the airplanes that were bombing below. We saw the war from down below, looking up at the planes. And that's a very, very different perspective. The challenge, of course, is the fact that we have two separate narratives. You go back to 1948, and we can argue this. We can argue this forever. If the Arabs had only accepted the partition plan, let me put it a different way. If you Arabs had only accepted the partition plan, you wouldn't be in the situation you are today. Okay? And you can get stuck there and have that whole discussion, but in 1948 there were only 600,000 Jews in Israel, and there were 1.5 million Arabs. Why should we have accepted a partition plan? We weren't responsible for the Holocaust. We appreciate the terrible things that the Jewish people have gone through, but why do we have to provide the solution on our best? For those of us who swim in this world, that's probably a direct translation from Hebrew to English, we understand that it is not a productive place to be. What we have to say is, okay, the year is 2009. This is the reality. There's 20% Arab citizens in the country. If it's not going to be good for the Arabs in this country, it's not going to be good for the Jews in this country. And that's from an instrumental point of view. I expect that speaking to the reform movement, their schools than Arabs do in their schools. And it comes from the Ministry of Education. We had the same ministry. How is that possible? So we say, okay, this is unacceptable. Is this a situation in which we are morally obliged to do something about it? And if so, what is it that we can do? The natural connection between the Interagency Task Force and us, the Negev Institute, is that we're the people on the ground amongst many, many other organizations that the task force works with that are making changes on the ground. Our whole approach is that in order to get to an equal situation, the population has to be empowered. They have to have the capacity and the skills in order to have an equal partnership. So that's one of the things. We work opposite the government by bringing them into our projects on the ground. They say, you know, we in the Ministry of Industry, we give all kinds of educational courses, training courses, but the Bedouin never come, the Arabs don't come. And we say, if you're offering a course on electricity to a population that doesn't have any electricity, there is a gap here in understanding what the needs are. That's an extreme example, but the speech of the government is also not the speech of the people. And we try to bridge that gap. We try to bring in government funding for the projects on the ground that will empower the people and bring us to a better city. What's so exciting about the task force and federations and Jewish foundations who have seen the light and seen that this country is not a viable country until we deal with our internal problems. And I understand, I don't know if any of you have seen it, but this morning I got a call from someone who said that I must read the latest issue of Commentary, where there is a very in-depth article on the Palestinian citizens of Israel, Arab citizens of Israel, and that we should all look at it and